finally, I got him, John Wilson. I followed him in Copenhagen after seeing his film, The History of Concrete, in Sundance. And now I finally have him here with me for an interview. Hi, John.
Hey, yeah. I didn't know you saw it at Sundance.
I did. And then again at Copenhagen, but it was impossible to catch you there. But now, yeah, now we're here in this room. Let's talk concrete.
Sure.
You told how you wanted to make this film about concrete, and it actually is pretty much about concrete. I was surprised how much it actually deals with concrete. So how did you get that idea?
Yeah, I feel like the movie started and there was a lot more concrete in it to begin with, but I shaved away a lot of it, even though there's still a lot in the movie. I like to make the definitive movie about anything that I'm doing. There has to be the concrete stuff in there no matter what, even if I drift really far away from it.
How hard was it to get the sponsoring? Because we see you in the film trying to get sponsoring and people just look at you blankly like, why concrete?
Yeah, I knew that it was going to be really hard to get people excited about it. And I think that's part of the challenge that I really like. If I had to pitch any one of the episodes from How To as like a standalone movie, I would have had just as much of a hard time doing it, just because they don't really seem very interesting on the surface, the subjects that I choose. But I try to give you all of the vegetables, you know, like all the facts about something like concrete, while making you interrogate your own relationship with this stuff, and also just like your relationship to other people, to like the rest of the world. Once you begin to think about something like concrete and how flawed it is, I think it can put you in kind of an anxiety loop. I'll speak for myself, I guess. Yeah, there's a lot of really depressing trivia about this stuff. I needed a way to make it funny still. And that's like always part of the challenge that I like, is trying to pick the subject matter that's the hardest to make funny.
Were there inspirations? Kind of felt things like Sesame Street.
Yeah,
absolutely. One of the best, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's great. Inspiration. I think part of the inspiration was just this book about concrete that I read, where the author said that he wanted to write it because he hadn't seen anyone else that had written it yet. And I felt a similar way about this film. You know, there's a lot of different essay films that I think about all the time whenever I'm making work. Los Angeles Plays Itself, or kind of strange municipal instructional videos that like teach you about material. Yeah, it's hard to say exactly what the inspiration for this was.
How much material did you actually shoot? Because concrete is kind of everywhere, so I suppose you could just go endlessly on.
Yeah, I shot a lot for this movie and ended up not using a lot of it, just because I needed to get a lot out of my system to begin with. I shot here in Switzerland very early on, but all the concrete was kind of too nice.
Could be a universal thing about Switzerland.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think everything's well maintained here. I shot a lot of like famous brutalist pieces of architecture all around the US and Europe, but I ended up using almost none of it. I felt like that story had kind of been told. People already celebrate this material in a way that I find a bit obnoxious sometimes. And I kind of wanted to invert like our perception of this material, and not as this thing that creates these.
And lots of fascist architecture.
Yeah, and like stark fascist like stuff.
Also, Stalinist architecture. Basically every suppressive architecture has had a thing for concrete.
True. But it's, you know, but then you also have this like classical architecture at the same time, which is like I think sometimes equally adopted by kind of fascist governments and stuff like that. I feel like modernism has kind of run amok in a way, but also so has this kind of classical architecture. So I'm not really sure what I'm proposing with this movie. I just really want people to think more deeply about what our cities are made of.
And that actually I think is a pretty interesting aspect. You already said you see that we're surrounded by something that everybody accepts, that's ubiquitous, and that everybody thinks is pretty solid, but it's not. Would you like to talk about, in case there is some metaphorical implication regarding politics or the social system, or would you say, no, it's really just concrete?
No, I think it's a really kind of potent metaphor for a lot of different things. The Hollywood industry as we knew it, collapsing and cracks in the foundation are forming, you know, metaphorically in a way. But, you know, I don't want to be too heavy-handed about that, because there's like a lot of puns and kind of cliches that could have carried the film that I kind of was trying to avoid.
It's also in many aspects a film about your own position at that moment, your own state, that you move from this fame of the series to suddenly feeling like you're unknown again. How was it to bring that aspect of yourself out there? And did you move around between putting more or less of yourself in it?
I initially resisted kind of putting in the financial struggle of the process. The stuff that speaks to me the most usually is the most honest, the most real world stuff in there. I wanted to put the process of pitching in just because I wanted to genuinely teach people what it's like, because I feel like actually getting something made is a bit of a black box for a lot of filmmakers, and they don't know economically how things work, myself included. I was like totally new to this. I did want it to be genuinely instructional in that way, even though it meant making me seem like this pathetic documentarian who cannot get his agent or friends to, you know, to make this thing. I feel like showing vulnerabilities like that eases tension within an audience, you know, and it kind of makes it more relatable. And that's why I like to speak in the second person, just because you think of yourself as the narrator, but you're also watching something from a POV. So it almost feels like you're in a video game that you don't have to control. And it's just kind of taking you from one place to the next.
You actually visit a lot of places, and sometimes we might wonder like how to get in there or get in contact with the people who run the place and manage to get all this footage. So was it sometimes difficult? And were there places where you were like, you would have loved to film in there or with those guys, but you were just not able to get to them?
We didn't really have that much trouble with access. I think I went to go film at a few concerts, but I wasn't allowed to film inside of there. So I would just like, I ended up hanging out with the people outside of the concerts and following them to different places. I cut a lot of that. I think the footprint was so small that it was literally just me. I could be pretty nimble in situations like that. The smaller the crew you have, I think the less seriously people take you. And I think sometimes the easier it is to get access, especially when you're just really honest about what your movie is about. For most of it, it was just about concrete. That usually shut people up when I told them that's what my movie was about.
Where there's some really concrete aspects that you said they just didn't fit anymore in the film because there was enough that you would have loved to be in there?
About concrete specifically?
Yeah, about concrete.
I didn't really want to give people any easy answers. The number one thing that people talk to me about after I show the movie is they come up to me and they tell me that they know the formula for Roman concrete.
I do.
At every screening. I knew what it was, but I just didn't want to put it in there because to me, that's a bit of a dead end. And, you know, I like to continue adding questions to the narrative instead of like solutions.
An interesting turn that this narrative takes is when you meet the singer of this like obscure band called Nebula, Jack. Then actually the film morphs more into his personal story because he actually lives through a real tragedy. I was surprised how touching this episode is because he's like this person that would be very easy to make fun of, but you never make fun of him. You always take him very seriously.
Yeah.
Kind of shows the humane aspect. Was he always ready to be in the film, or was there a point where you thought maybe I should not put that private story in there? How did he feel about it, and are you still in contact?
I really liked Jack immediately just because he was really confident. I'm always in this kind of anxiety loop of self-doubt with creative ideas. It's like that until I'm finished usually. He didn't really have that anxiety. He was just like excited to play music and didn't really question anything like that. I really admired him for that, and he felt like a positive creative partner because I spent like a year and a half with him over time, and there's kind of no floor low enough to how silly you can make someone look. So it's like, why even start? I like to start from a place of like, what part of me, what part of us is in this person, and how can we all relate with this person? That's usually the challenge.
And are you still in contact?
Yeah. I want to have a premiere on Long Island. This bar that's in the movie that he played at, called Mr. Beery's, is closing, and I want to like have him perform there before they close and stuff. I'm excited for him to be at the New York premiere.
It seems that this film is really going off since the Sundance premiere. So you seem to head for a new phase of this fame that you just lost it or escaped it. How you feel about it? How do you feel about it, actually? Do you feel like you escaped fame or that you lost it?
I don't think that the level of fame has like changed like too drastically.
Or maybe fame is the wrong word. Maybe it's like prominence, that people know who you are through this media presence. So if you feel like that it was actually a good thing that it went down, or that you kind of missed it.
I like feeling anonymous when I can. That's why I don't really show myself in the work that much, because I didn't really want to be a visually identifiable part of anything. I think people might recognize me from interviews or something like that. It doesn't really make anything harder. I think people are usually really respectful if they see me filming or something in public. They just kind of let me do my thing. I don't know what my level of fame is. It's all very strange to me. It's like, I feel like I can walk around New York and no one will notice me, but I'm also at this dinner with Kim Kardashian and I don't know why I'm there. It does freak me out a bit, like, just like being perceived as anything, you know, but I can't stop making this work. And I just try not to think about the audience when I'm making it, or like where it's going to go or who's going to see it. I've just wanted to make it to kind of exercise some demon from internally.
A concrete demon.
Yeah.
Haunted by concrete. Now that you made this documentary feature film and you had the series before, do you feel like going more into features or more back to series?
I'm not sure which direction I'm going to go. This was definitely a challenge, but I feel like I know how to have a better attitude about it if I make a feature in the future. Doing another show could be really cool, just because that's like a consistent paycheck that people can get, can like pay your friends instead of having to work on this in this like favor economy, you know, until the thing is finished. I have ideas for both features and series. I just have to see what takes off first.
Yeah, so if you want to work with John Wilkes, he has ideas for both series and features. Just
you heard it here
contact
first.
Him. How did the audience actually, you just mentioned that many came up to you and told you, wow, I know even more about concrete than you do, guy. So you made that whole film.
I was asking for it, yeah.
So were there a lot of strange or strong reactions to it?
So far, yeah, people like to tell me what they know about concrete after every screening, which is predictable. People have a much more emotional reaction to Jack, the musician's storyline, than I thought. When the tragic moment happens in the film, I didn't really emotionally know like how to feel about it. I didn't think that anyone would really care that it happened. I was afraid that people would just think it was just some random thing. But yeah, people like were very touched by the musician's whole story. And
was it hard to get this film? I mean, you got accepted at Sundance, and that's probably the biggest of the international film festivals. Was it hard to get this film into the festival circuit?
Yeah, we submitted to Sundance and they told us in the 11th hour. It has been easier to get this into festivals than any other thing that I've tried to get into festivals, for sure. You know, I think there's a lot of intersecting factors that might lead into that. At the very least, I feel like it proves that concrete is a marketable subject matter, despite what the industry will try to make you think.
Invest in concrete. Yeah, it's still gonna sell. You already said that you have both ideas for films and a series, but would you like to tell a little bit about it? Like, maybe wood, maybe cotton?
This thing I do will, I think, have a similar flavor to it. The thing about the concrete movie is that everyone was trying to get me to change my style in a way. People were afraid that I would do the same thing as How To. Didn't want to invest in this
How To the feature film.
Yeah, How To the feature. And I was so confused by that, because so many amazing artists have kind of made their careers doing the same thing over and over again. You know, Hallmark even.
They literally say that on screen.
Yeah, and how it's like all they do is tell the same story over and over again. And it's the only cable network that's growing. Like, not that I really care about viewers per se. Just made me think about what, like, why I even want viewers. You know, like, what is a viewer? Like, is a viewer a dollar amount? Is it something that you use to get your next project going? Like, what is it? And I started to really think about whether or not playing into the whole Hallmark of it all. Was I being a Hallmark movie by doing the same thing over and over again? Is that a winning way to do things? Or is try something new what excites an audience? It's like, I like when artists evolve, and I plan to.
Actually, that's one thing that I should ask. Like, did you ever get any trouble because you gave away the Hallmark formula from that writing course from the Actors Guild?
I haven't gotten in trouble yet for anything, but, you know, we'll see when the movie comes out. No, we got permission from the Writers Guild to use that footage, and from the instructor to use the footage, even though I wasn't supposed to be filming it. But I think that the instructor, I found out later, was was familiar with my work was okay with us like using it, as long as we like told her more or less what it was going to be and, you know, like contextually in the movie, which like we didn't really have a problem with.
From all the people that you talked to, was there anybody who was like, take my footage out?
The one thing we had to take out was like part of a John Mayer song because it was like we couldn't afford using more than 5 seconds of it, but everything else was fine.
Are you actually shooting material right now and working on something?
Yeah, I just finished two other short movies that I'm trying to figure out what to do with right now.
I hope they don't get rejected at Copenhagen Docs like Ted.
I did film a little stuff here in Neon, but mostly just on my iPhone.
Nice. So we will be looking out for that. So thank you so much, John Wilson, for doing this interview.
Yeah, thanks for asking me.